This episode is sponsored by Malibu. Hey Huns, here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we're letting the fun shine this winter with Malibu. For this week's episode, I'm sipping on a delicious passion fruit daiquiri, just one of the gorgy cocky teas that can be made with Malibu. Why not join me in a drink as you listen to this week's episode by checking out the super easy recipes on Malibu's Instagram page at Malibu Rum UK. Come on Huns, let the fun shine this winter with Malibu. Over 18s only. Hello to all my Huns and welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Guide to Life. And this week might be peak Hun for me. Now, you've heard me talk iconic footballers' wives with Electra from Drag Race. We spoke with Rosie Ramsey talking all things classic Tanya Turner epicness. And now, I literally can't believe I'm about to say this. I feel like Alexandra Burke, you know, when she's introducing Beyonce on The X Factor. We have two stars of the show that frankly go down in Hunstery. Please welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life, TV royalty, Susie, Amy and Zoe Lupper.
Hi!
We are so excited that you are having us on. I mean, we are such fans of yours as well.
It is like gay Christmas for me today. I've literally been sat for like weeks now because we've been sort of planning this for weeks. It literally is a dream come true without being sort of fangirling and everything like that straight off. This is like my, I can't think how old I was in like 2004. Let's leave that. But this is my 2004 self just loving life. So thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's our absolute pleasure. We think you're brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much. So you know that Hunsnet is all about nostalgia and fun and everything like that. And I was thinking before we started recording, the 90s had kind of icons, you know, like the Spice Girls, and there was the whole Britpop thing. But the noughties, I don't think, had that many icons. But you guys in Footballers' Wives, I think, are fully classified as Hun icons of the noughties. How do you feel about that?
Over the moon.
Yeah. That's quite something. Yeah.
It is. You guys are friends in real life, which is great. What's it like talking about Footballers' Wives all these years on? Because it seemed to have this massive resurgence. How do you feel about talking about it all these years on? Are you kind of like, not this show again?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, it was brilliant for us, the show, and it was a brilliant time in our lives. And, you know, we were so lucky. We got such great characters and great scripts and all that. And I think, you know, the two of us tend these days not to actually talk about Footballers' Wives unless people talk to us about it. Because,
of course,
obviously, we've, you know, we spend a lot of time together, and so we just do the usual, you know, what girlfriends talk about outside of work, really. But, you know, we're absolutely, you know, thrilled that people are still loving the show. Obviously, it's come out now on BritBox, so that's like a new wave, a new generation of people that are starting to watch it now. But no, I mean, we're just incredibly flattered that people still enjoy the show, still think about the characters, remember the characters. I mean, it's 20 years since we actually filmed. So, you know, it's a long time for people to remember back to. But, you know, as I say, we're very honoured and really flattered.
It was actually in August, 20 years ago, that we met for the first time, when we met in Croydon, of all places.
Classic.
Hurley Way, where I was actually born. And it was such a weird time looking back. You know, they had actually, I hope nobody minds me saying this from the production team, I'm sure they don't 20 years on, but they'd actually had Zoe in mind for this show. They had met her for another project. She's too modest to say this, but they'd met her for a different project and had her in mind for Tanya Turner. I mean, of course they did.
Uh-huh. Hey, by the way, just a little aside, when originally she wasn't called Tanya Turner.
No, she was called
Tamsin Turner.
Tamsin
Turner. And they changed it. So I'm so glad they did, because Tanya Turner works a lot
Tanya
better.
Turner works so well. And actually, Chardonnay's name in the original scripts was Cheryl. So it was only late on. In fact,
oh my God,
the first time I ever auditioned for Footballers' Wives, unlike Zoe, I went through a rigorous audition process. They had her in mind. She was their choice. And of course she was. She's fantastic. Oh. I met them and I didn't hear back because they really, really wanted a blonde girl. And they were looking everywhere for a blonde girl. And suddenly they said, recall all hair colours. So I got back in six or seven times. Unlike Zoe, yeah, I was in there constantly. And I thought, weirdly, I was 20 at the time. And it was my first thing that I thought, I'm going to get this part. It was like I kind of knew. And do you know what? I feel so lucky because we had the best time. I know it's fun to watch. It was so fun to do. So it is a long time ago, but I remember it so well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think looking back at it? And I mean, I've rewatched the show, you know, as much as everybody knows on Hunsnet, I'm a huge fan of the show. It's kind of every 4 years, I sort of do a recycle of it when it was on YouTube. Now, thank God it's on BritBox. And every time I watch the show, because time moves on, you know, I see things that entertain me like much more than I did the last time. Like, for example, what is literally sending me west at the moment is the interiors of the houses. Watching it at the moment. So I'm watching it. Donna Wormsley's house is literally like The Range on Smack. But at the time, I remember looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, those houses, those cars. And it's just, it's for me, like when I watch it, it's like this, it was like an innocent time. It's got an innocence about it because it's this sort of time capsule that exists before all of social media and all of the, you know, things going crazy. And it's for me personally, it's a real special time. So for you guys to be part of that is just amazing.
Yeah, I suppose the thing is that, you know, these days we because of social media, we all get glimpses into everybody's homes, you know, through that. So I think, you know, back in the day, it was only really if you did a photo shoot for Hello Magazine or OK Magazine, something that you would see those kind of grand houses or whatever. So it was a bit of a treat, wasn't it?
It really was. And also, you know, on any downtime in the show, the particular house that I filmed in, Kyle and Chardonnay's house, it was so luxurious. It really was the house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, with land and I, you know, you could just go and like rest in one of the beds.
It was really
great. Or just sunbathe out the back, you know, down by the lake.
Susie and I used to sort of find special spaces just to be together and eat Haribos.
What are you? Are you Tangfastic, Supermix, or
Tangfastic? She's Supermix.
I was Supermix.
I'm Supermix as well.
Wasn't it Starmix?
No, it's the one
that's
the white.
Yeah, Supermix.
The white bottles in, because I don't sweets anymore. But oh God, we used to eat so many of them at lunchtime and then basically pass out.
Yeah, and I mean, I used to go to full sugar cokers. So we'd be like, have more sweets, you'll feel better.
you're dealing sweets on the Footballers' Wives set. Brilliant.
Mixing that with the glucose that I used to have to snort. I mean, you used to get home at the end of the day and I was absolutely buzzing.
One thing I remember from when the show first came out, I remember I think you did a press interview, Zoe, and it was about you. I think it was there's a story about you coming home from filming on the train and having just done a scene where Tanya's done some naughty stuff and people are looking at you like, what the hell?
Oh, and I had powder, I had glucose around my nose. Oh, God. I'd totally forgotten about that. That was horrible.
Oh yeah, but it goes hand in hand with the iconicness of what this story is. It's brilliant. I'm loving the behind the scenes gossip, by the way. This is brilliant. Can I just ask one quick question? I was on the episode recently where Paddy's nurseries gets redecorated, and there's like an extra bathroom on this. Was that actually in that house?
Yes, the ensuite of that room. I think that you're actually asking that. And let me tell you how well I remember that day. I was wearing a pink Maharishi, you know, those loose trousers, little Costella strapless. It was basically underwear on the half, clutching that baby. I mean, I was thin as a rake with the new baby and so much spray tan. I mean, I don't even tan in real life. There was indeed a bathroom there, my darling. Yes.
Fabulous. I was just on the christening, because obviously everybody remembers the wedding, but I'd kind of forgotten about the christening. But the christening was like, I think, because the christening's season two, isn't it? So I think, you know, the producers must have had in their head, like, season one, let's go the big opulent wedding. How are we going to top this? And then there's Paddy's christening. It is just something else. Is so brilliant.
Graced the front of OK Magazine as though it was a real situation.
The crossover.
I was wearing £500,000 worth of diamonds around my head.
Casual.
Yep, they had me in at 4 a.m. for the hair extensions and the diamond fitting. And by the time lunchtime came, one of the costume assistants, Kerry, had to sit in my trailer with me as security. I mean, I don't know who she was going to fend off, bless her. I was fuming because I was exhausted. I was like, Kerry, I want to go to sleep. I was such a diva back in the day.
Why not? I love this. No, this feeds in. It's brilliant.
She went, go to sleep, but I'll be watching you. And I shut my eyes and she was staring at me.
BDI, talking about that as well, I don't know whether you saw the other day, I literally was in tears watching the clip-in purple extensions that you had in. It was brilliant. So brilliant.
No, I are you talking about me? Were they orange?
Yes. Yeah. No, they're like violet.
I was going to say, I kept the orange ones, the violet ones, yeah. That I forgot about them.
Oh my God. No, brilliant. This is like heaven for me talking about this. So now we know that you both have portrayed some legendary Huns on telly, but I need what we do on the Fundamental Guide to Life with all of our guests. We want to kind of see how Hun our guests are, because I've got this theory that everyone is a little bit of Hun. And in my brand new book that is coming out next year called The Fundamental Guide to Life as well, I talk about this much more and then people can find out where on the Hun scale they are. But for now, I want to know how Hun you both are and whether you're in sync with your Hunness or whether you're going out there on your own with your Hunness. First of all, we always talk about home deco. I think I know the answer to this. But do you have any home decor or paraphernalia around your house with any type of like live, love, laugh quotes on, you know, you don't need to be mad to live here, but it helps, so, you know, keep calm and drink tea, anything like that?
Zoe is very much live, love, laugh. my catchphrase for myself is I'm a wolf today, which is my favourite ever lyric.
Hey, from C'est la vie.
From C'est la vie. I'm a wolf today. So that's what I go by. And that's my, if I need to kind of get up and go, I just think, yeah. I'm a wolf today. And Zoe's is definitely live, love.
Well, to be honest with you, once in my time, did own a live, love, laugh thing that was in my bathroom on a piece of driftwood.
Gareth, she's winding you up, and that isn't my thing.
So what's yours then, darling?
Probably bubblies in the fridge.
Bubblies in the fridge. Oh, I was going to save that till the end, but bubblies in the fridge, it's come up. It's like... how did that... Talk to me about that moment, because meme history that will go down when we're gone, dead and gone for years to come. That is like cemented now in internet culture. Tell me about it.
Well, it was basically just leading up to it. Vanessa had found out that, yeah, Tanya and Max were having an affair. She'd been around to the secret apartment and had found that yellow post-it note saying, yep, bubbly's in the fridge, and found out about the affair. So she just literally, you know, went back to the Max's house. But because she'd been so controlling beforehand, it was the start of this massive meltdown. So in the script, it was only one bubbly's in the fridge. That was just what was written, and really? That was it. And then, but in order to get, because we only did one take, in order to get the momentum, I think I just zoned out, and then before I knew it, I'd done three. And I think, yeah, as I say, they set it up beforehand, and the director just said, look, if there's any issues, can we just stop straight away, because we only want to do this once? Because obviously the reset would have been quite, yeah, you know, quite something. So yeah, we just so it just kind of happened, in one take. So
It is so fabulous. I've watched that, Gareth, just like you, over and over over again. Also, people always tag me in your stuff. Can I just see it? Oh, because I'm much better on social media than Zoe. So I always have to draw her attention to everything. And that particular moment just goes down for me as TV gold. I love it so much.
I don't know whether you've noticed, but and I talk about this in my book as well, that Bubbly's in the Fridge is now an official Hun recognised mood. So it's like I could go like naught to Bubbly's in the Fridge in 3.5 seconds when I'm pissed off. That's like, it's just...
You know, you're so brilliant and you're so observant and so... I don't know. We think you're ace.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, like honestly, my heart, my I'm going to get the bubbly out of the fridge in a minute and go crack it open. It's bloody. Thank you, sir. No, literally, that means an absolute lot. When I do these memes and these things like that, I always think about the people in. You know, it's never laughing at. It's always laughing with or using the quotes and everything. So to hear you guys give that feedback is amazing, because you know I'd never want to offend anybody, and I totally respect you guys as actresses and you know. And characters and that as well. So to be able to give us these little nuggets and gifts is just amazing. So thank you so much.
Gareth, it's super, super flattering for us that you you do that and you consider that of us. So, you know, we are really, really grateful. Thank you.
My gush-a-thon over. Do you remember Freddo's?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, Lily still eats Freddo's. She's my daughter. Thinking about this, and I know that they've like increased by about three times, haven't they, in price. But what about the Wham Bar?
The Wham Bar, that's the one with the fizzy stuff in.
So, but Gareth, we're like the same
20,
age, aren't
they're 20p Wham Bars.
No, well,
they're 20p now.
But they're literally half the size and they're not as fizzy.
And they've taken out lots of the artificial colouring, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, kids today just haven't lived.
They were
10p, and I think I remember a chomp. Do you remember a chomp bar?
Yes.
Chomp bar. They were. I think they were 5p at once. Randomly this morning, I was listening to Jesse Ware's podcast, because I love that podcast, with her mum, and they were talking about popping candy, that it's basically bicarbonate of soda.
Oh, is it? Fizz Whiz.
Pointless information for you today. Yeah, Fizz Whiz, all of that. Push Pops. Do you remember Push Pops?
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm a Push real Pops. Sweet fan, but I've got to tell you here, I for sure eat more sweets than Zoe, but she's got a full sweet shop in her kitchen.
I'm putting together this scale with all of the guests, basically about this Hun timeline of like all these things, items and events that have happened over the years that have contributed to Hun culture. 2003 to 2006 are like where all of the things happened that we all refer to, like back, you know, in modern times. Modern times sounds like we're in the Stone Ages, but we refer back to. So, for example, obviously, Footballers' Wives was peak at that time. There was the Sienna Miller. Do you remember the gypsy skirt and the big chunky belt, the Deirdre Barlow belt? What else went on there? It was the beginning of X Factor and all like that. So, 2003 to 2006. Is where I think the peak Hunting was.
Right, I think that's when we were, because we were obviously right slap bang in the middle of filming from 2001 through 2006. So it was, I think we were just completely preoccupied with the filming. And when you're in that sort of situation, you don't really recognise that it's any kind of movement. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not until we look
at current time you never do
no,
you?
No.
The one thing I love about Hun culture as well is that it's all these shared references that are referred to like now in 2021 that, you know, when we put the memes together, like the nostalgia stuff, it's like, oh my God, that happened to me, or my bedroom was like that, or, you know, oh, I used to wear this, or Spice Girls Impulse, I used to, you know, buy that
jeans and a nice top. That was brilliant. The jeans and a nice top one. We loved that. That was so funny.
Your fashions on Footballers' Wives are. I could do a whole page about them. They're amazing.
We did enjoy. And I know obviously you clocked Tanya Turner's nails growing season by season. I mean, on the first series they were long. By the end, I mean. Do you remember you used to apply eye cream with the back of them to the eye?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't obviously put a finger in a pot.
I wondered what you were going to say then.
You know what, fashion-wise, though, I think the girls' fashion, I mean, obviously there is, it's of a time, but I think the girls' fashion in the show sort of ages better than the boys' fashion, because there's a lot of office shoes and dark denim in there for the boys. Because I remember at the time, it was looks that I had myself. You know, you just don't think about it, but now looking back, it's just, you'd never do it in these times.
No, I mean, we had this amazing costume designer called Sarah Arthur, who just had such a brilliant eye.
She really did.
Yeah,
because I've got to say, on the first series, obviously the producers had high hopes for this show. nobody, including them, really realized what was actually going to happen with this show. You know, they already owned and produced Bad Girls. It was a huge show. So we just thought we were going to be doing another successful TV show. We didn't really realize the side interest kind of in us and in angles like the fashion, the houses, the car. You know, it was a popular TV show with another, with an almost a tabloid interest in it. So what Sarah didn't have in the first series was a huge budget, because obviously no designers knew of the show because it hadn't been made yet. So she really had to throw things together that looked expensive at the time on a very small budget for that first season. And she did such a good job. And you know what? I do think that, I think with women's fashion generally, you can wear things over the years. I think you're right for men, especially when often men's clothing is to do with the cut. That has changed so much. So I think you're right. I actually think we could still wear half the wardrobe and it would look okay, you know? Maybe not the pink Maharishis. I still wore them for many a year afterwards.
I've still got a couple of bits from the show.
So do I. Yeah. I do too.
Do you have them in like a memory box? Is that, because I notice whenever we post a Footballer's Wives meme, there's some of the creative team that you guys chat about memories with underneath. There was when I posted something recently about Donna Walmsley's house. One of the teams mentioned that he's still got the oven glove.
That was Alan, who was our head makeup artist. And he was incredible, wasn't he?
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. So he headed up the makeup team, and when I say he would think like you in terms of all the things you're talking about would be 100% on Alan's.
Yeah.
You know, he loves the same culture we're discussing, and he loved the Walmsley's interiors as you did. And he still has those oven gloves. I mean, I wonder what else Alan's got. I'm going to message him and find out.
Indeed. And do you know what? One of my favourite things that I found out recently, somebody messaged me and was like, oh, I wonder what Tanya Turner's maiden name was.
Yes.
And then I messaged you, Susie, and then within, like, I woke up the next morning to the message, and me and my boyfriend are in bed literally crying about this, crying.
Maybe you can tell people, Zoe, what it was.
Tanya Beaver.
It's a drag name. It's a drag name. Tanya Beaver. It's brilliant.
I know. I mean, Tanya Turner's a great drag name, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's just, you know, it
certainly is now.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? On that topic of Tanya Turner being a drag name, we were out having a couple of drinks discussing potential drag names for somebody. And I was like, there needs to be an amazing like play on words for like Tanya Turner. And then it was only, I can't remember, I'm not going to claim this for myself because it definitely wasn't me, but somebody suggested Tangia Turner. So coming to RuPaul's Drag Race in 2024, is Tanya Turner. You heard it here first.
That is fantastic. Brilliant.
My drag name, I'm just putting this out there so it's actually on record. I don't do drag myself, but I surround myself with lots of drag queens. So I love the art form. I think it's amazing. My drag name, if I was going to be a drag superstar, would be Clammy Wynette.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Wow.
It's good, isn't it?
Pretty much copyrighted it now you said it. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. It's on record and that's where it'll stay. One thing I want to talk to you about really quickly is some of the amazing quotes from the show that make it in the memes and like scenes that we post. One particular scene, whenever there's anything going on with regards to investigating something, there is always the picture of Tanya holding the cigarette, or the video of her zooming in on the CCTV. That is a brilliant moment. Do you see all of the memes that come up?
Most of them, yeah. I mean, Susie often sends things to me because I can go for days without actually looking at my phone. Uh-huh. So Susie will send stuff to me. But is that the have you got everything you need? Crystal.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I love it so much.
Crystal. Crystal, brilliant. That is a brilliant moment. And do you know who my favourite person to quote from the show is? It's actually Jackie Pascoe.
Yes.
This just gives a bit of an insight to, and I don't want to sound like a super fan here because I do have a life outside Footballers Wives, but it's a very big part of our humour and obviously all of the references. Me and my friends can literally have afternoons just quoting Jackie Pascoe and going, are you deliberately trying to humiliate Kyle? That's about the haircut. And then obviously the hard hitters keep coming. In a different scene, she says to Chardonnay, "You look like Friar Tuck, for God's sake." That has me in thing. And then obviously the one thing which I absolutely love is, "You look like you've gone lesbian."
Piss off, Jackie.
Yeah.
That is like being told to piss off by you as me taking the role as Jackie Pascoe is just a dream come true.
I mean, that wig was questionable, wasn't it?
Well, that initially was a wig that then became my haircut. I mean, it was so that I didn't have to hack off my own hair. I can't remember why the wig happened, but I was distraught. I mean, I was beside myself, wasn't I? Zoe,
yes.
I was, because the wig, I just said to them, why the wig? Why can't we just, you know, why can't we do something attractive? But obviously that wasn't what they had in mind.
Yeah.
And the wig, I mean, I think Alan, again, still has the wig.
That needs to be put in a frame in like a hall of...
I would not wear it again. These days I would wear that wig with pride.
Indeed. Was the original Chardonnay hair, was that a wig as well?
No, that's my hair.
That was your hair, fab. It was so brilliant.
This is why they wanted a blonde girl. They wanted a blonde girl because then they wanted to cut it short and dye it dark. So because I was already brunette, they decided to try and make it red to then do it dark, which didn't have the same impact. So that is why I started the show with a dark red tinge to my hair, so that when I then dramatically cut it off after the tragic burning incident, it was darker, but obviously it was already dark. So it didn't quite have the blonde to dark impact, but I don't think I would have looked great blonde. So I think they chose not to make me blonde. I love you laughing at me.
Well, we were gifted with that beautiful Dennis the Menace-esque wig for your short cut off, and it will go down in history for being an iconic look. So thank you.
You know, that means a lot to me all these years on. It really does, because my confidence took a knock at the top.
Oh, gosh.
The tears shed over that wig. Yeah.
Oh my god. No, it's isn't it funny how things from back in the day, which obviously, you know, were almost like insignificant or think that's just so popular and referred to back now. That's what I love about this whole Hun thing, is that it's, you know, whilst it's you know, all fun and that sort of thing, it's real about nostalgia, and it, you know, it sort of takes you back to what you were doing, how you were feeling, you know, who your friends were and everything like that. So that's the one thing that I really love about being part of it, because I think it's a real nostalgia trip with a good sort of warm feeling to it.
Absolutely. Honestly, it is such a, just this chat today is just taking me back. Just so, my mind is just going into so many directions about the fun we had, the looks that were created for us and with us. I used to break into Zoe's makeup bag that Alan used to have for her in the trailer. And I used to steal that lipstick Tanya wore, Varnish by MAC.
Yeah.
And I used to steal it, because I was like, how come she's got all this makeup? Chardonnay's makeup bag was much smaller than Tanya's, as you can imagine.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, I think sometimes, I was thinking before, just before we went live today, where, you know, I'm not going to ask the question which you probably are asked all the time, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of, you know, would you do it again? Because I really think that, you know, let's talk about it as it was. But if it was to be done again, you know, the amount of spin-offs, you know, there'd be like a makeup palette, and there would be so many things that it would be just taken into this whole other sort of realm under the lens if it was sort of brought out today. That's why I love about it, of the innocence of it, because it's just a real moment in time. So
it was also a moment in time before social media. I mean, there was internet, but even the internet was kind of only a few years old.
Yeah.
And it's just a totally different era that actually feels like yesterday. But so much has happened since then. And it would be a very different show to make it today, because all the glamorous shows began to follow it. They actually initially made the show because there was nothing glamorous on TV, you know, in the Dynasty kind of way.
Yeah.
And I think TV had become very grey, you know, it was quite depressing. It was the soaps, you know, and it was people are dying, and it's hard hitting. And they wanted to put something out there that actually, things like TOWIE began to follow, and the Housewives shows began to follow, and it was bright and colourful and fun and tongue in cheek, and it was just very clever at the time. And a lot has followed that probably if it was made now, it might not have the same impact.
No.
But like you were saying, I think, yeah, if it was made now, I would imagine that in terms of merchandise, there would be a huge amount. I mean,
it wouldn't just be that board game.
No. Oh, yeah, we had the board game.
Gareth is very familiar with the Footballers' Wives board game.
I am. I was saying this earlier on that in my guest bedroom where I film all of the podcasts and everything, it used to be like a little show home before Hunsnet exploded, and now it's basically like HQ. It's got graphics and rubbish and everything like that everywhere. Next to the bed, I've got a leopard print bedside cabinet thing. And then on there, I've got the RuPaul book. I've got the Friends, I'll Be There For You book. And then I've got How To Be A Footballer's Wives book by Jay Reynolds. But the thing I love most about it is that it's written as if you girls have written it. So brilliant. It's brilliant. Have you got a copy of the book yourselves?
Yes. I do. I love it.
One thing that we ask all of our guests is, you know, part of Hun culture is the whole live, love, laugh thing. And we ask all of our guests, do they have three tracks, a bit like Desert Island Discs, but on a bit of driftwood. Do they have three tracks that make them live, love, and laugh? Susie and Zoe, you're heading on a night out with your girly whirlies and you've got that one track that gets you all moving at the same time whilst a box of lukewarm Savvy B is being passed around. What track are you listening to?
Do you know, for me personally, it would probably be anything by Wham, but mainly Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, Freedom, Edge of Heaven, that or something by Madonna.
Also, do you know what I absolutely, this was one of my first songs that I just fell in love with and I could get ready to it holding that Savvy B all night, with Ooh Just a Little Bit by Gina G. Remember that?
Yes.
Eurovision classic.
The Eurovision classic.
Love that song.
Here's a funny thing about Gina G. When you look at her at the Eurovision, I don't know whether you've seen the meme, but have a look at what the musicians and DJs are doing at the back while she's performing.
While she's swinging that ponytail. I mean, I used to do that in the mirror. That was kind of my whole, that was when I used to get ready. Like, that would be on. But I think Zoe's choices were probably better.
This is the whole thing about Hun culture is you do you, so you can, you can have whatever song you want and there's no judgment here, Huns. No judgment. So Gina G and a bit of Wham. Perfect. We're going to add those to the playlist. So the live track, now picture this, you're in a Hallmark movie, walking with a hun who's wearing a plaid shirt, it's snowing, you fall over and start making snow angles laughing, which turns into a ruddy, lovely snoggeroony. What track would be playing? So this is your love track.
Well, funnily enough, we actually have the same one because we have our own little love track. So forgive the kind of vision of us with our partners. We have our own, which it's always been our song. Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. It's always been our song. And I mean, we just love it so much.
Oh, what an amazing choice. Do you know what? There's something about an 80s ballad, you know, a big sing-song that really sort of plucks at the chords, doesn't it? Like, I love Heart Alone.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's just amazing.
Oh, God, yeah, a bit of that. Savvy B, annoying the neighbours, I'm all for it. My neighbour recently, in fact, she probably, she discovered the Shania Twain Come On Over CD, and don't our neighbourhood know it. So if she's listening to this, track 7 is my favourite. And then finally, is there a song that will have you wishing you've reached for the waterproof mascara because it makes you laugh? We need to know what song reminds you of the best times of you having, you know, a good laugh?
Well, for the two of us, I think when we were having the best time and it was Kylie's, do you remember when we were filming? La la la,
yeah, la la la, and wow. I mean, we love a bit of Kylie. We love Kylie.
This is stars aligning here because I absolutely adore Kylie. It's been 20 years since Fever was released, which was the album. And so I've really enjoyed, I'm basically living in the past. I really enjoyed revisiting that. And I actually bought the hoodie, the Fever 20 hoodie, which came through the post the other day, which is very nice. It's got Kylie's mouth, iconic mouth on there from the...
She is just incredible. And do you know what? Her latest, not that this makes me laugh, I'm just saying, her song Dancing, I mean, honestly, I love that so much. It's just such a classic. She never stops delivering. It doesn't matter what era we're in with Kylie, she is delivering.
And it's all happy music as well. Like, she's just recently done stuff with Years and Years, which I love. There's a brand new one with Jessie Ware, which I love. Obviously, I don't know about you guys, but every time she goes on tour, I have to make sure that I go. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing the live interpretation of Disco. So I'm really looking forward to that. So
it's unbelievable. I've got a friend called Stuart who is... arguably, I mean, I've never met anybody who loves Kylie this much. He has got so much memorabilia, and he really keeps me on top of my Kylie game. You know, when her Wine came out, you know, he sends it straight over to me. Like, I miss nothing Kylie because of him.
That's a good friend you need to keep. That's a good friend you need to keep. Do you know what I would have loved to have seen, actually, parody-wise, what Tanya and Chardonnay's workout video would have looked like? You know, because, you know, like back in the day, everybody was doing a bit thing. There'd be Tanya doing the ciggies, and that could get you a good arm workout.
Do you know what, Gareth? I actually did do a workout video.
Yes, you did.
Did you?
I did. Called Zoe Lucker's Little Black Dress.
It's the last time you worked out.
It's the last time I worked out. I did it maybe, was it 15 years ago?
Yeah, at least.
I still haven't watched it.
I reckon 17, 18 years. Yeah.
I won't unearth that.
I get it on hand. Find it anyway, darling. So.
It's been erased, deleted from all memory. Yeah. It's for all memory. Nostalgia, as we know, is a huge part of Hun culture. One thing that lots of people do on their podcasts is they play the agony aunt role and get people to send in, you know, problems and people sort them out. Well, we thought on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we would do it slightly different. And do you remember back in the day, like this is way back, like school years, the teenage magazines? Now, you know, arguably really toxic now, and we don't want to go into all of that, but they used to have some really fun problems sent into the problem pages. So what we've been doing with our guests is we've been revisiting some of these problems from back in the day, and essentially we have been looking at them under the lens of 2020 Hun and what a Hun advice we would give to the problems back in the day.
Yeah, great.
I'm 14 and I'd never kissed a boy. I'm really worried I'm not going to be any good. Loads of my mates have boyfriends already and are way ahead of me. This was from, I think it was from Ms. Magazine. I'm worried everyone's going to think I'm weird if I don't get a snog. But what if I do it wrong? Help. Snogless in Swansea.
Oh. It's really funny because I had these sorts of fears when I was younger as well. If it, like, on a total serious note, if somebody did have that problem as a teenager listening, please don't rush into just kissing random people.
Yeah.
Got no inclination in kissing. On another note, be aware of cold sores.
Exactly.
They are a pain. I do suffer with them every now and then, and I wish I didn't. Goodness knows who I picked them up from. Yeah. Do you know what? I used to read these problem pages. It's the only reason I bought the magazines. I loved them. And at the time, I had these fears too. You know, I used to practice on the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Does everyone?
Yeah. And posters of George Michael, of course.
I had one.
And Nick Kamen.
Yeah.
Used to kiss him. But these days, it's helpful because there's a lot on the telly that you can get that you can research. So things like The Vampire Diaries, some very attractive people kissing on there.
Yes.
You can watch them and copy them.
I actually really hate the pressure on youngsters thinking that.
Yeah.
You feel that if you haven't done this or this, you're weird. It's like there's the life, I know it's short, but it's also long. And actually, kissing somebody you actually find attractive is a hell of a lot more appealing than just kissing someone random so you can tell your friends you've kissed someone. If you need to, just lie and say you have.
Exactly.
Rather than actually kissing someone.
But I do remember just needing to get it over and
done with. I know. Listen, I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm just, as a mother of two girls now.
Yeah.
You've got Lily. Lily's there at that age.
Lily's 13.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. But yeah, I mean, listen, snog who you need to. But only snog who you want.
Yes.
This is what our Hunsnet followers said, because they're jokers. If your tongue isn't tasting tonsil, this is Lord Ashby, at Lord Ashby, you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
I don't, I don't think I'd want to taste
tasted tonsil.
Yeah, no. No, it's gross. Somebody else, Tomothy, gave some advice for those looking to make a little extra. Tongue punch a Calippo ice lolly. Other ice lollies are available, by the way. And suck. No, I'm not reading the rest of that. That's dirty. I'm not doing it. But you can. No, that's dirty. Tomothy, see me after class. Strange Glue gave some lovely advice. There's no right or wrong in way to kiss. Just try and follow their lead if you're nervous. That's good.
You know what? That is good, because having a little bit of kissing experience myself, I've got to say, the kiss does depend on the other person too, because it's not just one person kissing, it's two people connected. So actually, sometimes somebody could be a great kisser, but they're just not a great kisser with you.
Exactly.
Other times, it just connects, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd also say maybe go and find a dark room, because then it's not quite as embarrassing.
If the gay's listening, I think Zoe means not that type of dark room. Oh, you know what I mean?
No, not when you're 14 anyway. No.
And then Duffy 8219 says they'll be shit too, so get practicing. And then has given her an iconic hun quote: "Don't become a little bit of a slag, become a total slag." I'm not quite sure that's great advice for a 14-year-old, but
not advice I would be given to my 13-year-old.
No.
Cool, all that, anyways.
You've got it all to come. Right, Susie and Zoe, now you are two absolute hun royalties on our TV. Of course, you've been across all of the soaps as well, and you've got all of that experience in Footballers' Wives as well. So you should have an insight into who you would crown as a right royal hun, because here on The Fundamental Guide to Life, every week we get our guests to almost hunduct, in fact, not almost, they hunduct somebody into the Royal Hun Hall of Fame. And it's somebody who flies the Hun flag high, or somebody that you really admire for showing true Hun qualities, or you just absolutely really love, or just somebody that features on the page, or you can put anyone you want in there. So who would each of you induct into the Royal Hun Hall of Fame as a Royal Hunness?
Okay, I'm going to go with Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek, who is played by Catherine O'Hara.
Do you know what? She, as soon as I turned on Schitt's Creek and I saw her, I mean, obviously I could never forget her from Home Alone. She is one of my all-time idols. I absolutely love that woman.
Yeah, she's amazing. And just, I mean, everything about that character is just extraordinary. I mean, like her wigs, her makeup, her dramatic sensibility, her language, just everything about her is just fabulous. And she's a wonderful mother to her kids, as wonderful as she can be. And she's just eccentric and brilliant and an absolute genius.
Did you watch Schitt's Creek when it first came out, or when it got that resurgence, like recently?
I watched it right from the very, very beginning. I stumbled across it and just got completely just... And then, but then I had to keep waiting for the new seasons.
Yeah.
But no, I loved it immediately, and I loved her character straight away.
Have either of you seen The White Lotus?
No,
but
it's a new show. It's HBO Sky Atlantic. It is so fantastic. And the actress who plays Stifler's mom from American Pie, Jennifer Coolidge, is in it. And I mean, I love her, and I love The White Lotus. So Jennifer Coolidge is my hum. She is so,
so
iconic.
Funny.
We love her.
Ladies, this has been, like, honestly, one of the best hours of recent times for me. And I'm just, honestly, I'm so over the moon that you guys, A, agreed to come on, B, that you get it, C, that you've reminisced and given us some behind-the-scenes gossip. Honestly, this has really made my life. Thank you so much for coming on, girls. It's been fabulous.
Thank you for having us, Gareth. Thank you.
We loved it. Thank you so much.
Listen, where can our listeners find you? What's coming up for you guys? Are you on socials? I know that, Zoe, you mentioned that you're not on Thing, but let's get everyone following you and that.
It's absolutely on socials. It's just you don't check it as often as me or see as much. So she'll always see stuff. But she will see it. She's _ Zoe Lucker,
and I'm just Susie Amy. Just looking at it now, it's just mainly pictures of me and Susie. I'll put one up to the diary. I'll take one to
Susie
launch
and me
with
and
this
my daughter.
Podcast.
I think that you, listen, I don't know whether you'd be into this, but I think that there's a podcast, you know, your friends, there's a relationship, you've got a great story, you know, you've got a great family situation, you know, you've got children. You're like ticking every box for like a popular podcast there. So perhaps that's something to think about.
It's a very good idea.
Except I can't even turn on the computer without having a panic attack.
I'm here in Jim's here. Zoe's husband is a world-class film editor, so he more than knows technology. So that's why she's never had to learn it.
Listen, Zoe, one thing I want to get to in my life is just turning up and doing the gig. And if you can do that, just do it.
Oh,
that's what I reckon. If they can get everything set up and then you can just turn up, I think that's where you should start from.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Gareth.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, ladies. And yes, that's another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life over and done with. And that will probably go down in history as one of the most iconic hours of my life. And I'll be talking about this to everybody and everybody who'll listen. Thank you so much. That's it from The Fundamental Guide to Life. This episode, don't forget, you can get your fix of our Gorgina picks and more tracks to pop your pussy to with some Prosexy. So follow the Hunsnet profile on Spotify, where we'll dump all of the songs. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast. Oh yeah, and rate and review 5 stars. Thank you.
Insanity Group.
If you love Hunsnet and you love brunch and you've not checked out Hunsnet's Hun Brunch, then you're missing out, honey. Join us at least once a month in London and up and down the country for drag dallions, gorgy cocky teas, competitions, prizes, exclusive merch giveaways, and wall-to-wall Huns. So whether it's a birthday celebration, hen party, girly catch-up, or actually, for any reason whatsoever, get on the Nokia 3310 to the girly whirlies and get yourselves to Hun Brunch immediately, if not sooner. Tickets exclusively available on Dice.